this thing over yet? Because I gotta go home. My ass is killing me.
The United States Supreme Court has described it as dirt for dirt's sake.
There's not just like some whiny guy up there crying about how his girlfriend left him. You know, he's gonna slit his wrist. It's a rock and roll show. Oh, it's about happiness and all right, maybe this is some not so happy shit.
Drink up, man. We got 2 6-packs to kill.
Sort of like, you know, communal, let's all get together and have a big orgy feeling.
Never in the history of the world have the merchants of obscenity, the teachers of unnatural sex acts, had available to them the modern facilities for disseminating this filth.
Remember what I said.
Hello and good afternoon. This is Boris. I'm here with Snake Alley at GaragePunk.com. You know, some people say that the slicing of flesh is not a thing of beauty. Their minds have been twisted. So pick up your knife, kiddies, and go into your dark, dark bedroom, and I'll be in later to bite your navel.
If anybody that marries my sister has to lick me first.
Well, what are you waiting for?
Come on, you tiny little wreck, have a drink. We're drinking to women.
Hey, boy.
Cretans, yeah, welcome to Snake Alley, episode 11. Had to rip off that little salutation for my buddy Copper, who's, you know, he's got that thing going on. There's a podcast called Savage Kick. It's pretty good. Recommend you listen to it right now. This is Snake Alley, number 11. And unfortunately, I can't be joined by our regular guest today, but somehow we dug this guy up. And he's here. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, sir?
Hello, kiddies. This is Boris I'm sitting in today for Jeff. We have on our show today two real little gems and one great big stinker.
Big stinker, huh?
Big stinker. Bob, why don't you illustrate the first feature that we'll be reviewing.
Okay, it's from 1955. Actually, that's the date that's officially on there, but it was not released until 1958 due to the New York Film Commission. I don't know if that's just in like New York, but the censorship committee said, no way, man, not until 1958. And that's when I was born. And it's also, this thing is called Daughter of Horror. But it's also called Dementia, which is a more appropriate title, because it's about this girl, and she's played by Adrienne Barrett, and I've never heard of her before, but this comes from, it's produced by Exploitation Productions Incorporated.
If the name Bruno Pacioka rings in your ear, it's because Bruno was also a such in demand character actor in the 50s and 60s. On this film, Daughter of Horror, Bruno also was the associate producer.
All right, and the story goes that this girl is holed up in a Skid Row type tenement hotel room with the hotel light flashing on and off, and this is her nightmares that she comes up with because she has this horrible, horrible past, but she also has this horrible, horrible 18-inch switchblade that I haven't seen since some of my neighbors when I was a kid. You know, they're cops and they'd bring home these big switchblades, you know, from gang fights. This girl's lethal and she's on a murder spree. And it also, look, is it okay, Boris, do you want to tell us about, have you ever worked with Angelo Rosito?
Angelo Rosito, yes, that name rings a bell. The newsman midget out of Beretta with Robert Blake. Also, he had made appearances in film and other assorts since 1935.
Yep, and he was definitely on Beretta as a newsboy, as he is in this one, and that's all he plays is a small part. Hey, this movie has no dialogue. It has the spookiest, scariest soundtrack, and we've been stealing a lot of that for all of our previous Snake Alley episodes. Have a little bit of Daughter of Horror soundtrack in them. And I know, Boris, you probably don't, you know, you don't have an iPod, do you?
No, I don't, Bob Noxious, but there is one thing I'd like to say about Daughter of Horror. It actually easily could have been a silent film with just subtitles because there is no actual dialogue, just narration.
Narration? Narration? You want to hear some freaking narration? Here's some narration for you, Boris, and figure this one out. Okay? All right, man, I'm calling you the carpet on this one. Just because you came back from life, you know, from the dead or something like that, doesn't mean that you can just pull some shit on me, man.
Oh, don't be so hard on the beat.
I don't know, man. I'm pissed off because, you know, where's Jeff again? You know, before it was some kind of spider bite he had on his face. Anyway, let's go ahead and listen to this. And here's probably the only words you're going to hear in Daughter of Horror. Is that okay with you?
That's quite all right.
All right. Would you like a drink or something?
As a matter of fact, I could like to ask if I could have a teaspoon of morphine and a glass of water.
Okay. We'll take a drive up here to Wellston, Missouri, and we'll take care of you. We don't know when we'll get up there, but we'll get to whatever you're looking for. Here it is, Daughter of Horror, 1955. Not out till 1958, the year I was born. I love it. It's twisted. Check out the narration and see if you know who it is.
You out there. Do you know what horror is? Smug, confident, secure because you are sane. Do you know what madness is or how it strikes? Have you seen the demons that surge through the corridors of the crazed mind? Do you know that in the world of the insane you will find a kind of truth more terrifying than fiction? A truth that will shock you. Come with me into the tormented, haunted, half-lit night of the insane. This is my world. Let me lead you into it. Let me take you into the mind of a woman who is mad. You may not recognize some things in this world, and the faces will look strange to you, for this is a place where there is no love, no hope. in the pulsing, throbbing world of the insane mind, where only nightmares are real. Nightmares of the daughter of horror.
Holy smokes! Wasn't that some scary shit, Boris? I'm sorry I had to step in. All of a sudden, Bob Noxious, he had to get noxious, and he had something, I don't know, he had to do.
No,
how are you?
I understand, Bella. As a matter of fact, your roots in Europe, Bella, that's what reminded me of Daughter of Horror. Definitely influenced again by the German expressionistic period.
Well, you have to understand. I'm very excited. Now I'm like calming down. I feel better now. Oh, I feel so much calmer now.
Well, you know what I tell the kiddies when I talk to them in at night. Go into your dark, dark bedroom and hold the in later to bite your navel.
Let's not get into that. What the Mr. Noxious told me was to remind everybody that this daughter of horror, dementia, this funeral project, it had an extra special narrator that, we've stumped you with.
All I know is, Bella, it wasn't Orson Welles.
It definitely was not Orson Welles. Who's that? A Shakespearean actor.
No. He was the boy wonder of Hollywood for Citizen Kane.
Okay, that guy, the big guy.
The big guy with the stinking cigars.
Okay, but let me lay this on you, and you're not going to believe this. And I look right here, and read here what it says. With who is the narrator of this movie here? What is that?
It says the narrator of the movie Daughter of Horror was none other than Ed McMahon. Good, very good. You know your roots. In horror were that deep.
Well, I did not know that ginger ale was going to make you burp like that, either, Boris. Worthless, I would not give it to you.
Actually, it's the formaldehyde solidified.
Now, there's also, this is a very good flick, and it is Daughter of Horror. And that is where you will find it on archive.org. And then there's some son of a bitch that also is screwing up a whole show. There's this Al Leon. Who is this guy?
Why, he's one of our biggest fans. If you want to sum up what he thinks of us, just imagine the worst F word you can think of.
He does curse like a sailor from Hungary.
A drunken sailor.
Who just learned the English language. And he learned nothing but shit piece motherfucker or something like that.
My name is Al. Alien. From Lo-Fi St. Louis. And I am the biggest fan ever of Snake at... Bob, I'm not going to read this because it's not true. You know, because I'm not that big of a fan of you guys. I mean, you guys are okay, you know. I mean, as far as the garage punk stuff goes, you're all right? I'm not going to hate on you. I'm not going to be a hater. But I got to tell you, I'm not a huge fan of you guys. Really, seriously. So, you can take this statement and shove it right up your fucking ass, you jag off.
Yeah.
asshole. And you know what? I gotta agree with him. I am an asshole. But then again, so is everybody else. Fuck you.
Boy, man, wasn't that just scary stuff there, wasn't it, the Boris?
I would say it was delectable, Bella.
But the delectable is this popcorn that Mrs. Pam Rogers, the sci-fi expert, prepared for us.
And I don't mind adding that she's a wonderful co-host, too.
So good.
So cool to be here.
Maybe another shot would calm me down. But anyway, in the meantime, we'll be looking at our number two feature.
Actually, I could use a shot of peppermint schnapps.
Okay, be that the way. Just because a thunderstorm's coming over doesn't mean that you have a whole new life again.
That's right, Bella. So why don't you introduce the title of our second gem of a feature today?
And it is a gem of a feature. It is Carnival of Souls, which is a predecessor of Night of the Living Dead. It was recorded in, I think, a production, as they say here in your country, in 1966.
I don't mind telling you, Jeff Reinhardt passed on the information to me that he saw the movie when he was 12 years old, and it scared the living crap out of him.
What, that liar? Oh, that guy lies all the time on the last two podcasts. You know that.
Right now he's lying in his coffin.
he is still lying. So that's good. Very good. So it is talking about the full cast and the crew for Carnival Souls.
Actually, Carnival Souls has been, I believe, influenced by Ingmar Bergman, the famous Swedish director. Primarily The Seventh Seal and Wild Strawberries.
Well, hell, we all got out of there at about the same time, you know? We had to get the hell out of there, you know? Hitler and all that guy and all that stuff. And Mussolini, so we're looking back here at Carnival of Souls.
And also about this movie, Carnival of Souls, you can almost instantly see where Night of the Living Dead, George Romero, got his influences for his movie.
No shit, Sherlock. What the hell are you talking about? What do you think, that I'm stupid? That I don't know that this thing was recorded? This thing was finished in 1962, and George Romero only came out with Night of the Living Dead only 70. So what are you trying to shit? You trying to feed me again, Boris?
No, I'm just trying to get you whacked up.
Okay. I just need to relax again. Okay. I think you better.
Bella, I think the audience is going to find that also the movie that we are reviewing now, Carnival of Souls, has a very steady, basic character in it. Not so much the heroine, but the main ghoul.
Very, very nice. Almost like that girl on Night of the Living Dead.
Almost a dead ringer, Bella.
Got the big hair. What they call now, the big hair.
And the big schnob. Jeff said he had nightmares for weeks.
Well, maybe Jeff would have enough balls to come on to the show and tell him how bad it scared him. He's not here, is he?
No, he asked me to sit in, Bella. And I hope you don't mind him being absent for this episode. But, you know, he said, I have a week back. And I asked him, how long have you had it? And he said, a week back.
Here it is, from 1966. It is the Carnival of Souls.
Well, Mary, you'll make a fine organist for that church. Be very satisfying to you, I think.
It's just a job, Tim.
Well, it's not quite the attitude for going into church work.
I'm not taking the vows. I'm only going to play the organ.
Oh, you want more than that? Of course, it doesn't pay much, but, well, at least it's a start.
I don't know about that, girl. How do you mean?
Day before yesterday, she was the only one of three girls to survive an accident. You'd think she'd feel a little something like humbleness or gratitude.
Never know what she thinks. She's always kept pretty much to herself.
Yeah, and maybe in her place I'd do the same thing. Just pick up life again.
Well, she's so quiet-like, she fools you. But she's a tough-minded little thing.
I guess that's what it takes to survive. But I still say she's behaving strangely.
Well, if she's got a problem, it'll go right along with her.
Yep.
And this, Miss Henry, is our pride and joy.
You know, this was made in the same town where I've been studying.
Of course. That's where we heard about you. Oh, by the way, you have found a place to stay.
Yes, I have a room.
Good. Well, we hope you're going to like it here. We're not the largest church in this area, of course, but we have a nice congregation. We'll have to have some sort of reception. They want to meet you.
Couldn't we just skip that?
Skip that? Now, I don't suppose it's an absolute necessity. I don't know what some of the ladies will say.
If they say I'm a fine organist, that should be enough, shouldn't it?
Well, yes, of course. We'll let it go at that for the time being. But, my dear, you cannot live in isolation from the human race, you know.
Mind if I try this now?
I want you to.
What's the matter? Don't you drink, either?
Not really.
Not really. How else is there if you don't drink really? Answer me that. Now me, I not only drink really, I really drink.
Profane. Sacrilege. What are you playing in this church? Have you no respect? Do you feel no reverence? And I feel sorry for you and your lack of soul. This organ, the music of this church, these things have meaning and significance to us. I assume they did to you. But without this awareness, I'm afraid you cannot be our organist. In conscience, I must ask you to resign.
What did you find out, Doctor?
Not very much, I'm afraid.
I'm sure glad you just happened around. I was going to call somebody, but I was afraid to have to pay the bill.
I came on purpose. I've been thinking about her ever since she left my office yesterday. What's she been up to?
Only the devil knows that. I heard her moving things all around that room all night. Never heard such goings on. And she wouldn't let me in her room this morning.
She's a strange one. She absolutely refuses my help. I can't say that I blame her. There's something about her that completely baffles me. I've urged her to call upon me if she feels she needs help, and I hope she will.
I can't let her stay in this house.
You won't have to worry about that. She's determined to leave the city, and she wants to get away as soon as possible.
I hope she does leave.
Okay, okay. Mary Henry is an organist that is in a church, and she starts playing satanic music, right? Is that correct, Morris?
That is correct, Bella. After she was originally hired by the preacher man to be the church organist.
Oh, he gave her the rundown big time here. And we hear the rundown here where he says, you can't ever be playing the organ at a church like that. Like a Ritchie Blackmore or something like that.
As a matter of fact, when she starts in with the macabre organ music, the Reverend chimes in and says that he's going to allocate fire and brimstone.
Okay, we're looking at 1962. And this thing, believe me, man, it was a problem with a lot of people. And we had a little thing going. We had a bet going on, didn't we, boss?
We
about where this thing was shot, right?
We most certainly did, Bella.
And where did you say you thought it was shot?
Well, I just took an idea off the cuff that it might have been shot on the West Coast.
No, this was shot in Salt Lake City.
You mean Utah, huh?
Well, the Sawtelle Flat, the place that the affair that appears in the movie, that is very scary. It's a very scary place.
I will say this, Bella. In the sequence when the ghouls were dancing in the carnival at night and took off after the heroine, this definitely was a good influence of the macabre.
Well, it only took them $17,000 to do it. I mean, what the heck? I mean, you know, Ed Wood used to make movies with me for less than that, and I did much, much better. Pull the string!
By the way, Bella, the glass shots, the reflection shots of the main ghoul were very well handled and predominant throughout the entire picture.
From 1966, it is the Carnival of Souls.
Pizza!
Pizza! Pizza, pizza, pizza! Everybody loves pizza, and we're now featuring the famous original Tolona pizza. Only the finest and purest ingredients go into the original Tolona pizza, made fresh to your order. And into the oven it goes. Presto, a luscious, hot, crispy pizza. We're now featuring... Hey, wait a minute. Give me another pizza. That's better. Now, as I was saying... We now have delicious, crispy Tolona pizza at the refreshment stand. What do you have? Cheese, sausage, or pepperoni? Take it away!
Very good. Not for the whole family, and especially like this next. This one gets the guillotine. Am I correct, Boris?
Yes, it definitely is probably one of the biggest abominations that have ever been made.
Should we even mention the name? Or not give them a credit?
Just as a fair warning to everybody, Bella, I think it would be appropriate. Go ahead, tell them the name of it.
Listen, this one's called Ape Canyon. Like an ape canyon. It has a Bigfoot creature that is making love to the... he is actually not making love, he is raping women in the forest.
And all of you Mongolian mule molesters out there, you've just arrived in time if you watch this for a good butt screw.
Now you know something I think about. Well, what's the name of the director of that?
I believe his name infamously was Donaldson. Not to deter or cut down Jimmy Olsen.
So we damn him to hell.
No, I would make him be tied to a chair for 24 hours with toothpicks holding his eyes open, making him watch this movie over and over and over.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of strapping him upon like two trees where we would have a tennis ball machine firing tennis like boiled potatoes up his ass over and over and see how he likes it.
I'll be honest.
This is a horrible movie. The guy has the stupid teeth, the hillbilly teeth, and it's so horrible.
As a matter of fact, I've seen better film floating on top of swamp water.
Okay. I'm settled down now. I'm another shot. But people, please, don't go through Ape Canyon. Ape Canyon will wreck your taste. A souffle will never taste the same.
Like I said, the camera work looks like it was taken with a person with palsy.
I thought this movie was really, really, really great. And fuck you if you think it sucked. I thought it was brilliant. Just brilliant. You should have seen him. That was brilliant cinematography. And fuck you, Jeff Reinhardt and Bob Thurman for even thinking that it sucked. Because I loved it. I loved it. And that just shows the problem that you guys have with this show.
Well, the same to you, you ugly alien. Oh, I've had enough of this tomfoolery with this guy. Where's Bob Noxious? He's supposed to be back with your medication, Boris. Well, okay. Let's blow this popsicle stand and go have a drink. What do you say? And, goodbye. Maybe we'll see you some other time.
Please replace the speaker on its rack when you're ready to leave. Failure to do so will damage both the speaker and your car. We'll be grateful, and so will the patrons who follow you.
I'm gonna tell you about my baby. You know, it comes around. He's at this 6 feet 4. From his head to the ground. You know, it comes around here. It's about midnight. It makes me feel so good, Lord. You know, it makes me feel. And his name is around here. It's about midnight.
from Lo-Fi St. Louis to video blog. If you haven't heard it, then fuck off.
Hey, Boris. Hey, what the hell happened here? Al, what are you still doing here? Where in hell is Bella and Boris? Man, this place is a mess, man. Went all the way to Wellston, Missouri to get some sort of clandestine medication for Boris, and I come back and this place is all messed up.
Hey, Bob, I got a question for you.
What's going on here, man?
I forgot what it was. Sorry. Just go on with what you're saying.
Okay, Al. I got some questions for you, too. Anyway, like, what the hell happened around here? Because no business got done. So here's the business, folks. Mostly women in movies and women in music. And we watched, or we looked at Carnival of Souls. Downloadable from archive.org. Very, very good if you're going to do the DVD thing with that. Same thing with Daughter of Horror, also known as Dementia. Great movies. Download them. Anyway, as far as the music goes, thank you, Copper, for, man, turning us on to some great stuff. Sure, Al Ian, had something to do with this, right, Al?
Hey, pull my finger.
Okay. Anyway, what we heard in the beginning was Nikki and the Corvettes doing Criminal Element. Then we heard the 5678s doing Green Onions from the Teenage Mojo workout record. Then we heard the Trash Women with The Dates on Me from Spend the Night with the Trash Women. Then we heard the Goodies, Double Shot of My Baby's Love, which is a classic from way back. Some of my most favorite words, and to hear these girls sing it, I'm so ecstatic, it's ludicrous. Anyway, and then right before Al Ian jumped in here and started pimping his show, we heard the Bells with Melvin, M-E-L-V-I-N, Melvin.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's been kind of real, like being here with you guys. And I can't say I enjoyed it because I didn't, and my ass hurts. And good riddance, motherfuckers. And I hope to see you in hell.
Well, I'd like to say I enjoyed having you on the show, too, as a guest DJ. You didn't introduce any of the fucking songs. All you did was insult us. And, I hope your ass hurts even worse than it does now. Matter of fact, I borrowed some of Space Ghost's power bands. Got them on now. And go ahead and bend over, Al, because here it comes. And I'll see you later.
Have a drink. We're drinking to women.
was inhaling a bottle of hooch at a table.
Now me, I not only drink really, I really drink.
Yeah, yeah.